Mullet Open's going on today. Wags and Rodney are out there. Bucky and BK, you heard them broadcasting this morning. Jordan and I are not at the Mullet Open. We're in our respective domiciles. It's only an hour. It's Jeff. It's Jordan. Jordan, be honest. I've got a little bit of a sore throat this morning. So I don't feel sick. It's just weird. I'm just a little rough. But so I might be deferring to you a little more today. But I want to start off with our colleague Josh Pate. You got a one-on-one sit down with Sark. I didn't expect that thing to go for 40 minutes, but it did. We both got that advanced copy of that interview and got to listen to it before it aired last night. I wanted to ask you, because Sark covered probably more, I think went more in-depth on recruiting philosophy than we've heard him do in maybe some press conference settings. I don't want to say uncensored or uncut, but maybe a little bit of unfiltered Sark on the portal in this era of college football we're in terms of talent acquisition. Anything really grab you last night?
I haven't been able to watch a ton of it yet, just some clips. And obviously reading the transcript we were sent. But I thought it was very funny seeing the clip of him talking about how people are like, damn, and I'm about to – I was feeling a sneeze coming. I guess not anymore. But I thought it was funny how he was like, everyone is talking about how good of like a soldier, trooper, Arches for coming back. It's only his second year. Yeah. And I thought that was funny, kind of seeing him candid and in that moment.
Like, what a guy for sticking it out. Good for him.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. I think look, it's Steve Sarkisian and it's the Texas Longhorns. People are going to figure out a way to be unhappy with what he's saying or to take offense to what he's saying. But the way I look at it, if Sark is, I think obviously he's comfortable and knows exactly what is going on in his quarterback room, right? But like, if he's going to, he knows how big of an audience Pate's show is broadcast out to and how much the world is seeing what he's going to say. So like, whenever he's making jokes like that about kind of Arch, like it's like, okay, he is not super comfortable. He's incredibly comfortable, you know, with that whole thing. So
yeah,
I think Texas fans should only get confidence out of just going through and watching the interview.
It's cool. You know, I'm not tooting my own horn, but you know, it was last year at Big 12 Media Days. You know, Craig Wayne, I got a one-on-one with Sark back when I was doing the show with Craig. And, you know, it was probably the most relaxed I've gotten Sark for an interview. And that was when he really opened up about Joe DeCamillis and the new special assistants that he had hired and the roles. And I think we got it at that point because we start the interview. And it's Big 12 Media Days. Like, Sark's going to be – he's going to be verbally ass-whipped about quarterbacks all day. Well – we had started, Craig and I had started to we were just kind of BSing. And Craig, you know, Craig being the pro that he is, wanted me to quit talking about this story and get to the Sark interview. But Sark sits down, puts the headset on, and I keep talking about this video that Craig had sent me from his vacation where, funny enough, he's on the golf course and there's an alligator on the golf course. And so Craig sends me this video. He's in the Carolinas and it's one of those deals. It's kind of like if you see a rattlesnake on the course here, Jordan, it's like, oh, they're going to be around. That's how they treat gators over in the Carolinas. So Craig and I are talking about this gator and Sark puts a headset on and then Craig intros Sark and he's like, you know, he goes, Sark, hey, dude, you're ready to talk some football. And Sark's like, actually, I want to keep talking about this alligator on the golf course. So I get Craig telling this gator story. And it's just me, Sark, and Craig. And we spend the first, it's like a 12-15 minute interview. And we spend like the first 2-3 minutes talking about gators on golf courses. And Sark opened up. So I'm glad that we're getting to hear as his tenure goes on, kind of more of relaxed Sark when he kind of relaxes and can't open up. And you get a little bit. The best interviews, man, are when it just feels like you're just sitting there. Excuse my language. You're just sitting there talking shit. Like it's just it's you and a couple buddies just sitting there shooting the breeze. And those are the best. And you got that lesson. I mean, dude, like start going in with Josh about the gas station bit. You know, like that's good stuff, man. So I dug it, man. I dug it. I think it's weird when you hear the head coach talk about something that you yourself have been talking about and touting, like you and I have been talking for a while now about the fact that you really pointed it out first. You know, you look at some of those early portal classes, they just took guys to take guys because they needed bodies. Because Sark brought up something that I didn't even really think about. When he took the job, he didn't get that, you know, kind of that gift and the curse really of having a portal window or where your roster, you know, you had guys that could, that 30 day window where guys could come and go and you know, you could have some roster movement. They just kind of had what they had. And this was even, think about this, man, this was 3-4 years ago.
January 21.
Yeah, right? Think about how much the portal's changed since then.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about some of the guys, and look, some of those guys were good soldiers for this program and gave it their all, but they just didn't have the talent that some of the guys on the roster have now. And he's talked about not being able to take as many risks. They don't have to do that anymore. Jordan, you and I have been talking about that for since we started this show. Going back to before we had a show of that's the beautiful thing about this roster. That's where you're at across the board in terms of not just where your culture's at, but it's where your quality depth is at, how you believe in yourselves as talent developers, the whole deal, man. It just shows how healthy this roster is.
Oh, yeah. And also, I mean, like, not only do they not have to take the risks, CB, not only do they not have to take the risks of, like, you know, shit, we went 5-7. A ton of kids don't really want to come here, and the portal doesn't exist. So we have to take kids that aren't that great, but they might have one elite trait or something like that, mm-hmm. right? Not only is that a lot easier because you're not 3 years into the job, recruiting as a whole is a lot easier because you're actually winning. Like, kids are talking about Texas and looking at Texas way differently than they ever have. And that's because this generation of kids has not seen a Texas program have the success that it's currently having under yeah. Steve Sarkisian. So, you know, recruiting's a lot easier. There's a guy I talked to who's no longer on the Sark staff, but he was on both Herman and Sark staff for a period of time. And he had mentioned the main difference he had seen in recruiting. This was just in a conversation we had probably over a month ago. He had mentioned what he felt like the biggest difference in just the whole recruiting effort from the whole staff is that he felt like with Herman, like about half of those guys are relying on recruiting to get done by just the logo on their chest when they walk into the school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's like, I don't want to say every person on Sark staff isn't like that because there is probably one or two people. But he did say, like, all those guys recruited like they had a Western Kentucky logo on their shirt. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's making a difference. And winning solves everything, as they say, you know. And kids know Texas is winning. They know they're producing talent into the NFL again. And also, they know Austin's a dope city and that Texas is one of the strongest NIL collectives out there. So,
mm-hmm.
Texas is an incredibly attractive opportunity for a lot of different players, especially offensive skill players. I think that's kind of why you saw Texas almost come out of nowhere for Jamie French once he decommitted from Alabama following the retiring of Nick Saban. There's a lot to like, obviously, about the trajectory of the program and everything like that. But, yeah, I got to listen to that Sark interview, and CB's also saying he apparently did one. I know they're not with us, but he apparently did one with Kirk Bowles and Seth Golden as well. So.
Yeah, I haven't listened to the interview from their podcast, but you know, the other thing that I really I think if you're a Texas fan, you listen to, again, we're talking about Sark's one-on-one with Josh Pate that aired last night on the Leg Kick with Josh Pate YouTube channel. We mentioned Josh is obviously Jordan and I are with Hornets 24/7, 24/7 Sports is the parent company. Josh is a coworker, so I thought he did a great job with the interview. The other thing in there, Jordan, that I really liked was the fact that Sark felt like the game against Washington, just in terms of where this the steps this program is taking, was almost like the Alabama game the year before, where you didn't really know what to expect going in. And, man, you're right there basically got the ball one play to maybe win the game and go play for a national championship. But instead of everybody getting their dauber down and being depressed about it, it's almost like everybody's hungrier. Like, man, look how close we were. Dude, if we just keep doing what we're doing, we can get back to that point. Now we know what it takes to win that kind of game, get over the hump, and maybe now you're playing for a national championship. So it excites me. And I think that's been one of the biggest problems, honestly, with Texas in the, you know, the 12 years before last year. Really, I think once you got to a point in that 2022 season, just kind of the stops and starts, you know, you get climb a little bit, then stop. I think it's because I've talked about it a lot, man. Texas is one of those jobs where, because of all the things you mentioned, all the advantages you have, you're just real easy to get complacent and think like, oh man, I'm just going to sit back and it's just going to start raining five stars all over the place. Well, it's not exactly. And then it's going to start raining wins. That's not exactly how it works. Like, you still got to put it. But the fact that, like, this doesn't sound like a regime that feels like they've got it made, because the message from the top down is, yeah, we got this far and we're hungry as hell, not only to get back, but to get back and do better. So that was one of those. And that's what they took from that Alabama loss in 2022, is it's like everybody in Gen Pop is like, oh man, you played Alabama really close and you almost won the game. But internally it's like, yeah, we played Alabama close and almost won the game, and we probably should have won the damn game. And we've got another crack at them next year. So let's spend the next calendar year getting ready to go to Tuscaloosa next year.
Yeah.
And we can prove how much better we are.
Yeah, no, it does make a lot of sense. It's just unfortunate that Washington isn't exactly on the schedule.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, just that opportunity, yeah. If you can get back to a semifinal, you know, it's a program now that you've got enough vets to where you don't have to envision, oh man, what's it like when you get into a CFP semifinal? What's it like to be on the cusp of a national championship? These guys know now.
Yeah. Yeah. And Antoine, to answer your question for Hunter Andrews, the linebacker out of Magnolia, who ended up with Utah, you know, I wasn't a humongous fan of Andrews.
Gonna eat on the air, by the way, so I'm gonna apologize right now. I'll mute my microphone, but
okay, got it. I wasn't a humongous fan of Andrews. You know, I think he could have played at Texas, could have brought value to the Texas roster and the program. But to be honest with you, like, there are probably four linebackers just like him that come out of Texas every year, or four similar enough to him. So I didn't think it's not like they're missing out on Anthony Hill or even a Leonga LaFalle, you know, so I don't know. Also, you know, they ended up getting a linebacker out of the portal originally with Blackshire. Obviously, things change, so you know, retroactively, it's a lot easier to look back at Andrews and be like, yeah, they probably should have pushed harder for him. But, you know, you can't always look back in hindsight. So I think they'll be just fine this year. Ant Hill, David Benda, Leonga LaFalle, even Gallette. You know, I expect those guys to do well. And I know and Mo Blackwell, too, your boy.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, the linebacker core, I was looking at that. I'm like, damn, there's only six scholarship linebackers, but it does make sense. And then, yeah, CB, I want to talk about this. Did you see the cover?
Yeah, we can go ahead and talk about it, man. So it's on the deluxe edition, the cover drop front. I've seen people have an issue with Donovan Edwards being front and center. Whatever, Michigan won the national title last year, so to the victor goes the spoils. But you're kind of really, your three guys kind of at the front, and it's basically the shot of a bunch of players walking out of the tunnel onto the field. You've got Donovan Edwards front and center, Quinn Ewers flanking him on one side, Travis Hunter on the other. And then you can see kind of the Quishon Judkins in his Ohio State uniform, Carson Beck and Jalen Milroe are the names and likenesses you can make out there. So it's cool. I dig it, man. The fact that you can put active players on the game cover, I'm cool with it. CB mentioned that no Shedeur Sanders. I don't know. I wonder if that was maybe an NIL deal that maybe didn't get done in time, or maybe, I don't know, maybe Shedeur wanted too much money to be on the cover. I'm not
trying to
cite anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. They already got Travis Hunter on there, who is a better player and will be drafted higher than Shedeur Sanders.
You think so, man?
And is much more likable.
I've seen way too many mocks that, and dude, I guess mock drafts a year out, 11 months out, take them for what they're worth. But I've seen way too many mocks that have Shedeur going number one to think like that doesn't.
Who is making these?
Dude, everybody. Everybody. Our colleagues at CBS have done it. ESPN's done it. I know our colleague Blake Brockermeyer had to do one specifically for 24/7 Sports. He gets people talking, but I don't know, man. It's way too early. You know, go back to, I guess that would have been April of 2019. How many mock drafts at that point had Joe Burrow going number one overall in the 2020 draft? None of them. Yeah. So it's somewhere between a fool's errand and just a fun exercise to get people talking. It's probably a little bit of both, but
I'm not hating on Colorado. It's more so like, I don't know, people are going to talk that he's not on there when Travis Hunter is there, but I will hate on Colorado and I'll accept that. I've done it before, but right now I wouldn't necessarily classify this as hating. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. They're probably going to be the most popular team in the game, you know, like, because you know how many people they got involved in college football last year?
Yeah, just casual college football fans that latched on to a team and they picked Colorado because of Deion.
Yeah, so they're going to be popular as hell. Are you? Do you even have a game console in your house? Are you going to get this game?
I don't. I've already told my wife, though, whether it's...
Hold up. I don't even know who's here. Someone's knocking on my door. Give me one second.
Go for it, man. Jordan, I guess, has maintenance or somebody. I don't know. Maybe somebody's selling him some magazine subscriptions. Knocking on his front door. Yeah, you can go down the list, man. I can remember mock drafts a year out that had Spencer Rattler or JT Daniels, or I remember one year Matt Butler's doppelganger, my Longhorn Blitz colleague with Rod Babers, Matt Butler's doppelganger, Curtis Painter. Remember Curtis Painter one year was a projected top pick in a draft. So, dude, yeah, quarterback is such a crapshoot. But now Jordan's right, man. Colorado's going to be a popular team in that game. I don't have a gaming console right now. The last gaming console I had an Xbox 360. And when my wife was pregnant, when we found out my wife was pregnant, I made the decision to go ahead and get rid of it just because, I don't know, my wife kind of jumped the gun and was like, hey, you need to get rid of some of this stuff. And it turned out, well, I didn't really need to get rid of anything. So I sold my copy of NCAA football and my Xbox 360, which I ended up getting more for the game than I did for the system. So I don't know if I go Xbox, if I go PlayStation. I don't know. I'm not brand loyal to either. So if y'all in the chat, code of text line, whatever, y'all want to try to convince me to be a PlayStation guy or an Xbox guy, I'm all ears at this point. So, man, is that right? Sony quoted you $22 trade-in, $22 trade-in value for a PS4. All right, I got a dispatch from Jordan, a text. This is wild. So, let's see what Jordan's up to. He just texted me. Apparently the maintenance people at his apartment need to take a photo of his AC unit, and this was the only time they could come do it. So, hey, man, sometimes life happens. CB, how are you liking that PS5? And I'm not saying I'm a PlayStation guy. PS2 was probably my favorite system I've ever had. But I had that Xbox 360 for several years and I enjoyed it. But no, man, I'm looking forward to playing it. I'm glad that, you know, so that would have been, so 14 was the last one. So it's been 11 years, man. It's been a decade. I'm just glad that, you know, because I would venture to say, I'm 40. I would venture to say there's people in my age bracket, maybe a little bit older, but definitely younger, that probably got locked into college football playing that game. I imagine there's a healthy portion of college football fans right now who are college football fans because of that game. Because I always just liked the college football game better than Madden. I just felt at some point Madden got repetitive, and then when 2K kind of got out of the game, when EA got exclusivity, I just felt like Madden got stale. But I never felt like college football was stale. So I'm really happy that there's going to be a new generation of college football fans that are going to fall in love with college football because of this game. So, Jordan, why maintenance bothering you? Maintenance couldn't pick another time to come look at your AC.
I know. Usually they be sending me emails and I can like kind of pick a time when they come by, but I just get a knock on the door and I'm like, yo,
are you having AC problems right now?
No, that's why I was like, I opened the door and it's a maintenance guy. I'm like, yo, what's up? Like, I was like, I'm in the middle of something. What's up? And he's like, I need to take a photo of your AC unit. It'll be like 1 minute. And I'm like, hey, I'm kind of in the middle of something. Can you come back like 30 minutes? And he's like, no, I need to do this now. And like started coming in. So I'm like, all right, dude, just hurry up. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm in the middle of a show. And he's like, what's the name of the show? And I was like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, just get the, like, hurry up.
I don't have time to chit chat. I need to get back to said show. Like, hurry up.
Yeah.
What you need to do.
Yeah.
Rex, yeah, I'm pretty sure EA is not going to make this for the 2600 or the ColecoVision. I doubt it. It's probably not coming out on the NES platform either. So. Gotta adapt. Jordan, are you brand loyal to either system? You're younger than I am, man. Are you a PlayStation guy or an Xbox guy?
So, when you're the youngest of, or you and your twin are the youngest of seven total kids, you're gonna get a lot of hand-me-downs.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started off with the Xbox, and that's all I've ever owned. Okay. And I just kind of stuck with what I started with. And now I don't even know what it's called. I have the next-gen Xbox. I also just like... Like, I don't mind PS4s or PS5s when I'll be at friends' houses or whatnot, but like the controller fits so much better in my hand. The Xbox One does.
So
PlayStation ones are just so small, and I have fairly large hands for a regular sized human.
So my favorite, I've had some systems over the years that I loved. Right, when I was a kid, Super Nintendo was probably my favorite game console ever. I liked the Sega Genesis because I thought Genesis had the best fighting games and the best sports games. So I was on the Genesis probably way longer than I should have been. And then we went PlayStation 1, which was fine. But when I was a senior in high school, I got a PS2, and it was a game changer. It was a life changer. I stuck with the PS2 for it, way past its lifespan. Like, they weren't even selling it anymore, and I was still rolling PS2. But then I went Xbox 360 because in my apartment in San Marcos, we had an Xbox. That's where we would play NCAA football, like for shots based on how many touchdowns you scored or gave up. Drink responsibly, kids. Do games responsibly, because I sure didn't. Anyway, so I got used to the Xbox controller. Then my wife, 1 year from my birthday, got me a 360. So for years, that 360 control, that one felt more comfortable. The PlayStation one's like riding a bike. Like, I could pick it up and be like, okay, because my brother's a PlayStation guy. So if I play the new, whatever the new generation, the current generation Xbox console is, if I pick up that control, is it going to feel kind of like the 360 control?
It's the same exact one as the Xbox One controller, if you've ever held one of those.
I don't know that
it is. It is very similar to 360 controllers, but I don't know. I've talked to Hudson Stanish about this a lot. The whole recruiting industry is about to have like a serious working shortage. Like, I'm serious. Like, I don't think 24/7 on three arrivals is prepared for like how much time their staff is about to be spending playing video games during like the busiest time of the year in July.
Our tier leads, man, the Pat Tholys and the Kevin Ryans, Josh Harvey and Taylor Estes, are about to look at, why is moderator message board use down 97% for the month of July? What the hell's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I don't know. With me, I'm obviously going to play with Texas. I'm going to want to do, I forget what it's called, when you basically just take over a program and rebuild it.
The dynasty mode?
Yeah. Probably, I'll probably do one with Texas State just for funds with RJ Martinez or PJ Hatter. I'll probably do one with SMU with just a bunch of old Dallas players.
Yeah.
And some old Texas players. Hey, I'm definitely getting busy with UNT.
Let me ask you something, because I will be 100% honest. In the interest of full disclosure, nobody above my pay grade has said anything about to me about this, so I don't know. But for the recruiting aspect of this game, are they going to use Rivals? Are they going to use 24/7? Are they going to use On3? Are they going to use one of those brand names? Are they going to use ESPN?
I doubt it. I doubt it.
Just have like the EA. I'm not saying use the, you know, use like actual prospects. I'm saying just like use the brand name and then have like, you know, computer generated prospects or whatever.
To be honest, and this, I'm not even trying to take a shot at them, but like, to be honest, On3 is the only site I would see that would pay for something like that. Like, I just don't see CBS doing that.
I don't know. I'm being 100% honest. I haven't asked anybody higher up. Nobody said anything to me about it, but I was thinking about that. I was like, I wonder if they're going to do it. I don't know how much they're partnered, because I know the last few editions of that game, EA was pretty heavily in bed with ESPN on that deal. So I would imagine, I just assume they're going to use like the ESPN 300. Is it still 300? They still do 300?
I don't know. I don't go look. I think so.
Man, I tell you honestly, and I've known some of those guys. I've worked with some of those guys in the past. I know you said Billy Tucker. Billy Tucker's a guy that is Billy Tucker still at ESPN, or is Billy with Under Armour at this point?
I mean, I don't know. Is there like a difference, really?
I don't know. Like, it's kind of weird how it works like that. But Billy Tucker, Craig Hobart's a guy that I've worked with a little bit in the past. Tom Luganville too, but and I don't know how much Tom Luganville is doing rankings anymore, because Luke's is pretty heavily involved on the commentary side. But I'll be honest, I haven't looked at ESPN's recruiting rankings. Man, it's been a couple years, a couple cycles now since I've looked at ESPN's rankings.
No, it's true. It's true.
Probably because the last time I did, Jordan, it was so. Like, it's kind of what I hear whenever they come out now. And I'm not knocking those guys, but I'm just going by what the reaction that I see, like, on our message boards and that I see on Twitter, just how out of whack with the composite sometimes the ESPN's rankings are. I just stopped really paying attention.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense. I was just thinking, the last NCAA game I played wasn't NCAA 13. It was NCAA 11. And if you remember, that was
Mark Ingram on the cover?
I don't even remember, to be honest. But it was the year after Colts last season. And Garrett Gilbert, if y'all remember, he was like the number one player in the country. They made him like a 99 overall, basically. And like, it was hilarious because like, that was the season shit went downhill for Texas, right? Like, really started to go downhill.
I lived it.
And it's like, what was even the record in 2011?
2010, they were 5-7.
Yeah. And they were probably 100-0 in my book. Because Garrett Gilbert was just out there throwing ropes and shit all over. And it was NCAA 11. They didn't even really update the rankings.
Now,
the season went on, I don't think.
Talk about a guy back in the day that could throw some piss missiles. Garrett Gilbert was throwing piss missiles back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a hashtag number three quarterback or whatever.
Yeah, QB number three.
Yeah, man, I love that. I'm very interested to see if there's any Texas players that are going to have that, if every single player opted in.
Well, Arch didn't, remember, so Arch will just be...
Oh, yeah, yeah, that is right, because that was news.
Yeah.
Because it's Arch Manning.
Yeah. You remember, that used to piss me off so much about basketball games. Like, I loved playing NBA Live back in the day, and you'd pick the Bulls, and the best player in the game would be roster player number 99, and he'd be the best player in the game. You're like, I know this is Michael Jordan, but, like, Michael Jordan didn't sign the NBA Players Association deal. He did his own licensing. So, you know. You just had to envision it was Michael Jordan. Just pretend it was Michael Jordan.
Did it at least resemble him at all, or was it just like
from what I remember? No, like he couldn't even be bald. Like he couldn't resemble Michael Jordan's likeness at all.
So all the only thing they had in common is I'm assuming they kept him black.
Yeah, and he was okay. He was the best player in the game.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I remember that. They did have Malachi Nelson one, who's now leading the Boise State Broncos, who don't want to pay their freshmen. So,
man, okay, can we talk about that real quick? Because I don't know if anybody saw that. So,
yeah, I meant to bring that up yesterday, but we didn't end up getting to it.
Yeah, I don't know. You have that story handy? Basically, Boise State has come out and said that they're not going to allow their freshmen to accept NIL deals. Let me see if I can find.
Yeah, okay. That's like me coming out and being like, all right, boys, I've kept it quiet, but I've had some bad behavior. Because of that, I'll be banning myself from the NBA for my first season I'm eligible. You know, like, how much money could their collective possibly have? And, like, how much of it is going to Chris Marshall and Malachi Nelson?
Let me see. I'm trying to see if I can find the story.
Yeah, he. It's also funny because it's a first year head coach, it's his first year being the head coach,
being the full time head coach. So he was interim last year.
Yeah, but still, like, I don't know. And I mean, I'm assuming with the way Boise State tends to recruit, it's because they're the best offer for that kid. And I mean, if Boise State is competing for a recruit, I doubt the other schools are going to have money either. But, like, I don't know. Everyone's overreacting to this. Like, how many G5 freshmen get NIL dollars?
So, okay. So, the original quote from Spencer Danielson was, it was this. It was, if you're looking for the easy way out and you're looking for a handout, don't come to Boise State. So, he did a radio interview. He's got a local radio spot. He went on, apparently this was yesterday that this happened, and he attempted to clarify what he said. Okay, so I'm just going to read this verbatim. This is a quote from Spencer Danielson, and I don't have time to listen to the interview right now, obviously, but I'm just going to read what's quoted here. It said, when we recruit freshmen, no NIL or collective money is promised to anybody. Now, any athlete can go out and get NIL opportunities in the community where they're from or here at Boise State. That's up to them. That's between them and what they want to do. But for us, when we recruit young men, it is not about if you come here, this is what we're going to be able to do for you. This is how we're going to be able to develop you. We're a developmental program. What I was talking about earlier today, all of the freshmen that come in here are not promised anything. They're promised a chance to compete, which that to me makes more sense than, you know, you're not allowed to accept any NIL deals. Because legally you can't do that because these aren't program rules. These are state laws. There's a law on the books in the state of Idaho that says what these athletes are entitled to try to get and what they're not. So yeah, that to me makes more sense. But dude, why would you even put yourself in that position? You know,
no one was ever asking you what the going rate is for a Boise State freshman.
Like, start out with, well, I can tell you this, anything our guys earn as freshmen is going to be on their own because, you know, our collectives have decided that money's going to go so that we can retain our veteran players to keep a core intact for multiple. Like, something like that would have made more sense, right? They'd just been like, oh, if you're looking for a handout, don't come here, brr.
Yeah, and like I don't get the G5 coaches always, like every offseason you'll see at least 10 of them be like, I had over 12 players get tampered with and told to go on the portal to get more money, and they're coming back. And it's like, dude, you're only making the big dogs want to work harder. You know what I mean? Like when I'm trying to chase down a story and no one's answering the phone, it only makes me want to put in a crystal ball more or like different things like that. You only make me want to work harder. So I don't get why G5 coaches do that.
Well, but I mean, I don't know. He has a former five-star quarterback and a former five-star receiver that are both going to be in their first years at Boise State next year. Yeah. I find it incredibly hard to believe those dudes aren't going to be on some form of NIL plan of the collective. And now, I get it. Neither of them are technically freshmen, but they are in their first years at Boise State. So I'm very interested how that dynamic is looking.
You know, you mentioned that, and Sark brought that up, kind of what you just talked about, like Malachi Nelson ended up at Boise State. Sark talked about, because I thought Josh asked him a good question last night in that interview, you know, the struggles that G5 coaches are having right now. Well, if you're a G5 coach, like I would imagine, you know, Bobby Merritt's a good example, not just because I've got frame of reference, but I think it's a good example, right? Because his job is going to change a little bit. So Bobby Merritt was basically Sark's guy that kind of manned the portal, like the initial portal guy at Texas, where he's looking at G5 guys or whatever and be like, all right, yeah, this guy's in the portal. I'm bringing the film to the recruiting team because this is a guy we need to get on. Some of those guys, Jordan, you know, are no-brainers, right? But, you know, as you get down in the process, whether it's Jermaine Lole or Javion Cole, Bill Norton, like the guys that are late portal guys, that's where you need your scouting team to be like, yes, this guy's worth taking. No, we're better off with what we have. Bobby Merritt's role at Rice now is going to be, hey, because, you know, when you're at a place like Rice, you're looking at like maybe some Ivy League guys that would transfer, some kind of mid-tier to lower-tier FCS guys. Part of Bobby Merritt's job for Mike Bloomgren, I would imagine, is going to be paying attention to P5 guys who go in the portal that you know, all right, he's a Power 5 guy, but he's not looking to go to another or power, whatever we're calling it, the power conferences now. He's going to be looking to take a step back where he can actually go get some playing time. Yeah, this is a guy we need to go recruit. This is a guy we can go get. So I think that's where, you know, having a general manager or just having structure of a front office, if you will, at the G5 level, the schools that can do it, that's going to be your biggest benefit now, is paying some of those staffers to be in those roles.
I'm trying to think of who I think would be like the most powerful G5 in the state.
I mean, probably UTSA, right?
Yeah, UTSA, UNT.
Because they're, I mean, Houston's a power conference school now. Baylor, yes. SMU's a power conference school now. So, yeah, it's slim pickings. But when you talk about just the amount of schools you have to pick who's that best G5. But, like, Jeff Traylor at UTSA, we've seen Jeff Traylor kind of get both ends of it, right? You lose a guy like Trey Moore because at some point it just becomes, look, he sees an opportunity to better himself in the National Football League, and he feels like going to Texas is going to give him that opportunity. It's not a whole lot at UTSA you can do about that. Your platform's only going to go so far, right?
And I
love Jeff Traylor, but it's true. Like, your platform's only going to extend so far.
Yeah, and like, I don't know. I saw this is more so me just like observing everything. But like the small amount of UTSA fans that are like, we're just a feeder program. It's like, all right, like put yourself in his shoes. You know what I mean? And make that choice, because I know who you're picking and it's not UTSA.
Credit the staff.
The same fans that are saying that. Jeff Traylor's who called Steve Sarkisian and said, hey, this guy's going in the portal. Like, he wants to go to Texas. I think he can play your school. I really want you to look at him.
Yeah.
That is how that went down. So, like, the UTSA fans saying, oh, a feeder program or whatever, like, I'm sorry. That's what it is being in the G5. You have to accept it. It's not changing. It's not changing anytime soon, as much as it sucks. That is what the transfer portal and NIL have done to the sport. And you have to
accept. You know how you get there, Jordan? You get there with honest conversations. If I'm a G5 coach, that's all I want my player to do. If he says, coach, I think we both know that I've got a chance to go play in the NFL, but I feel like, you know, and I don't know, Trey Moore has representation, but if he's saying my representation's telling me that I can legitimately go get X number of dollars if I go to a power conference school, I want to help my family right now. I want to have this opportunity. Can you help me find somewhere to go? And I'm sure, knowing Jeff Traylor, yeah, he's not going to have a problem picking up the phone and calling. And it's probably like, okay, well, where are you thinking about going? Well, I like Texas. I like Texas A&M, and I like Oklahoma. All right. So I'm going to pick up the phone from Jeff Traylor. I'm going to call Sark. I'm going to call Mike Elko. I'm going to call Brent Venables and say, hey, my guy wants to come. He's going in the portal. He's going to have open contact. Just giving you a heads up for when his name hits the portal. He really wants to go to your school. Let me tell you about him, blah, blah, blah. That's much easier of a process. One thing Sark mentioned, well, I'll get to what Sark mentioned last night. The flip side of that is if you're Jeff Traylor at UTSA, one of the few ways you're going to be able to get a prospect the caliber of Denver Harris, and we talked about Denver Harris's the road he's traveled. The only way you're going to have access to a guy like Denver Harris is by the way you've gotten him, where he was at A&M. It didn't work out there. Went to LSU. It didn't work out there. Now Denver Harris's last chance, he needs an opportunity where he can just go somewhere and play to put on tape that he can still play. He's going to do that at a G5. Yeah, UTSA is a perfect spot for that kind of guy. So if you're doing it the right way, the portal giveth and the portal taketh away, man. You're going to lose some guys, but dude, you can. But I'm not wrong about that, Jordan Witt. There's no other way UTSA would be able to get a guy the caliber of Denver Harris unless it's exactly how they got him.
Yeah, no, it's true. It is 1,000% true. No, just what you said about the portal take it and portal give it, I just got flashbacks. I was at a Houston area high school in January.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say the high school, but I was there. And the coach is like, all right, who do you want? Who do you need? And I say off all the kids, and I say this one kid's name, and he's like, he not here no more. He at North Shore. And I was like, oh. I'm like, coach, that's right. I'm sorry. I totally saw that on Twitter like a week ago and totally forgot. And then we go out for the offense, and I'm like, yo, who is this quarterback? Like, wait, this kid was not here last year, even 2 months ago. And he looks over at me. He's like, yeah, that portal shit worked both ways. And I was like, yeah. Yeah. So,
oh, man. But hey, this is actually where I need your expertise, because I don't delve into this field, but I know you have to live in it covering recruiting. One thing Sark said that actually could clear up the waters, the muddy waters of, you know, guys in the portal, is he and Josh got on the topic of guys masquerading as agents, you know, the uncle or the advisor or whoever. Well, you can clear that up if somebody, whether it's the NCAA or whatever this governing body of big time college football ends up becoming, if they said, okay, you have to be certified by the NFL. As long as you're certified by one of those big four leagues, the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, or the NHL. As long as you're certified by one of those big four leagues, you can represent players in the transfer portal. You can be their representation. But if you're not, schools are not going to deal with you.
Yeah. Or you can just do what Texas did by signing with a marketing agency so you can eliminate all the NIL agents.
Yeah.
Which is literally why Texas did that. Also, just because the WME is going to give you more range for marketing deals than anyone else in the country will. So you kill two birds with one stone. You get your athletes the best deals they can possibly get, and you get rid of all the BS uncles, NIL guys, all that. Just because
the riffraff, the hangers on.
Yeah, because like with the way I've been told WME and all that will be set up is like, if you want to come to Texas, you can. If you want to make NIL, this is the only way it can be done. So, yeah. And that is marketing money, NIL. That is not, I don't think there's any way they could like enforce you having to be rep by WME to earn your roster value, which is the majority of what the money in NIL is. It's roster value. Like few players actually make money through marketing. A lot more could, but none of them know how to market themselves. A lot of marketing guys are just simply jabronis, to be honest. They think all the guys are the same, so they try to market them all the same. That's just not how it should work. But I mean, yeah, like, I don't know. I just think like Maurice Blackwell, he's not a humongous name, but like Why is there not like a guy that's taking him back to Arlington and taking him around like where he's from and talk to the businesses there and set something up? You know what I mean? Like, that's something that even I can think of. It's like, oh, that's so easy.
There's, you know, it just strikes me based on some of the stuff you've told me and what I've heard from other people. There's a lot of people trying to market kids in the NIL space that, quite frankly, don't know shit from apple butter.
No.
And like, it just seems like, I'm gonna go off a kind of tangent a little bit here, but seems like, Jordan, if you're a creative person, you understand how to, if you're a graphics guy, a video guy, you understand how to do that stuff. It seems like NIL is the space where you need to be, because I just don't see a lot of that happening. And the stuff I do see, I know a lot of people that could do a much better job than what some of these kids are dealing with right now. And I say kids, they're adults, but you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're a creative, man, this is the space I think you need to be in. You know, people are always asking, and I'm sure you get it too, like college age kids are always asking, man, how can I get my foot in the door and cover recruiting? I'm almost starting to tell them, man, that's probably how I do it. Just get on the creative side and start getting with some of these guys and figuring out how to maximize their visibility. You know, it's interesting. You look, the basketball is one of the sports where I've seen it happen. If you look at the guys that come in as rookies in the NBA that have been extremely popular, it's been the guys that have really stood out, like LaMelo Ball was like this. Jalen Green was like this. I think this is, again, why Evan Stewart has been as hot a commodity as he has. Those guys did such a great job kind of building up their profile via social media that by the time it was time for them to step on that stage, which for LaMelo Ball and Jalen Green, it was the NBA, and for Evan Stewart, it was college football, everybody already knew who they were.
Yeah.
You know? And it was basically because, like, how many Evan Stewart had over like a million followers on Instagram, something stupid like that, right? By the time
Evan Stewart got the majority of his following off TikTok, and by doing like dance videos and like thirst traps where like his shirt's off and he's just doing like corny shit for teenage you know what I mean? Like, I get it. I respect the hustle. But I'm pretty sure he is over like 2 million followers.
Yeah.
Some crazy shit on TikTok where he's raking it in. So,
yeah, but I just don't see enough guys doing that. And it's like, that's free advertising. You got a free platform, but let that be my piece of advice today, man. If I'm a creative, if I'm, you know, 18 to 21 and I'm looking to get my foot in the door, bro, that's how I do it, man. I find a couple guys and start dealing with it on that side, on the creative side.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like, it's crazy looking at, the butterfly effect, I guess, for like my life and my career. Like, I was doing photo and video work, not really knowing what I was trying to get out of it. And then I run into Nick Harris on the sideline of a game. Yeah. And I'm just like, don't you work for 24/7? He's like, yeah. And then I told him like everything I know pretty much about like all the Austin area kids. And he got my number, and I kind of like became his source and went from there. But, I mean, yeah. If I didn't run into him that day, I don't know. I'd probably still be doing videography, photography, or something else. I don't know. I couldn't tell you, to be honest.
Man, mine is, you know, I have two. I answered a message board post on an old Rivals message board back in 2004, because the old Texas Prep Extra website, they were looking for somebody to cover a little bit of recruiting, but mainly like actual high school football in Syntex. I inquired about the gig, and it was basically like, when can you start? I'm like, oh, start right now, I guess. And then a couple years later, I was still at Texas Prep Extra, but was looking to leave and do something else. And on a whim, man, Ross Luxinger from Inside Texas reached out to me and was like, hey, Garrett Gilbert's got this is the first time he's going to throw at the state 707 tournament. It's the first time he's going to throw since he had shoulder surgery. if you're going to be there, can we pay you a little bit of money and, you know, you take some pictures and write a story? And sure, yeah, I can do that. No problem. And then that one freelance gig led me to sitting right here where I am right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny too, because I left that important detail out. The only reason I knew who Nick really was because I was reading recruiting and stuff. But the only reason I had walked up to him and recognized him was because there's this guy named Samuel Stowers who had this like Instagram account, had only probably about 4,000 or 5,000 followers on it. And it's called Texas Football Life. And he had posted on his story, who wants to like be in a Texas high school football group chat? And I and like 30 other guys swiped up, and like that group chat's still active. and this was in like, I think this was during COVID. But Nick was in that group chat too. And that's how I was able to like actually ID and recognize him at that Lake Travis game. So I'm like, yo, aren't you in the, but yeah. And it's funny, that guy who had the, you know, swipe up on my story, if you want to be in this group chat, I ended up kind of joining him with Texas Football Life. And now that's, you know, what we do together. And there's other people involved as well. But if I didn't swipe up on that Instagram story, however many years ago, I couldn't tell you where I'd be at. But
I only share these stories, man. And I don't mean to get like philosophical or whatever, but
yeah,
you know, some people might be wondering, because you know, I've been Jordan. I'm an old head at this point. I've been in the game for a minute now, covering Texas. And some people might be like, man, how did Jeff get in that position? Like, how did you get that job? Some people might be saying it for like, how the hell is he still doing this? Like, what makes him so special? Like, why does he have that gig? Well, I'm not saying I'm special. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody else. It's just that it's like anything in life, man. The one or two opportunities that you take, really, man, that road forks, man, and you either go left or you go right. I just on two occasions, I just happened to take the right path twice.
Yeah.
The 50-50 shot, man.
Yeah. No, it's wild. You got anything coming up this weekend? Any plans?
Well, yeah, got a big day tomorrow. The wife and I, we're not going to Home Depot or maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I've got, my daughter has season finale T-ball tomorrow morning. So we'll see how that goes. See if she can, she's been almost like a bunt specialist. Like it just creeps out. Like it'll get just past, it'll start like, oh man, is this going to die? Is it going to be a foul ball? And then it goes over the line and it's out of the circle. Then she's got to book it to get the first base. So see if we can get make a little more solid contact this week. And then we got a couple hour break, and then she's got she does a local basketball league here in San Marcos. So we got first basketball game tomorrow afternoon. So
Okay. Just curious, what high school are y'all in the school zone for? Is it San Marcos?
Well, yeah, but my wife works at the private school down here.
Oh, okay. So you're probably gonna get her in there.
Yeah, she'll be.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Can't believe
We are. Yeah, we have to be zoned to San Marcos High. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm about to bring the guys in. But just last thing, today I'm going to go out. I was going to go see James Simon in Shreveport, but I'm like, I'm not going to go spend 7 hours in the car if I can get him on the phone. So that's what I'm going to do. So instead, I'm going to McKinney to see their spring game. I'm going to go see Riley Pettijohn kill some people for probably like 10 snaps before they take him out of there. But yeah, that'll be fun. So if you want to see Riley Pettijohn,
I learned a long time ago, my first spring out and on the road. Man, if you're gonna go to a spring game to watch a big time recruit, do your ass better get there early, because the best stuff you're gonna see is gonna be in warm ups. Because he may get in series, and then they're gonna let the young pups go at it.
Man, me and Riley are cool, so I'm hoping I can like wave him over and be like, "Hey, you done? let me get this interview in real quick. I'm trying to beat the traffic."
I learned that the hard way. I was like, I remember one of the first spring games I went to. It was the Garland spring game. The rising juniors going to be seniors when Tevin Jackson and Adrian Phillips were rising juniors going to be seniors. And I'm like locking in. I'm like, all right, man, I'm ready to watch some stuff. I get there, watch warm ups, and like, I think Tevin might have played like two snaps, just like one series. AP played a series of offense, series of defense. Of course, he played quarterback for one, so he was non-contact, and then they were done. So I'm like, all right, now I'm going to sit here and
I will put on my thumbs
for 2.5 hours.
In past experiences, the top prospects will usually get more playing time in the spring game than they will like the scrimmages in August versus actual opponents. But what do y'all got coming up?
Jeff, really quick, what's going on, Keenan? What's going on, fellas? I wanted to jump in. I caught the tail end of you waxing poetically about, you know, being in this situation to work in sports. And I just want to tell you something, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, Jeff. I ain't never had nobody ask how I was in this position when I was in Aggie Memorial Stadium in Las Cruces, New Mexico, in front of 4,000 people covering a midweek Conference USA game. They've asked how was I in that position. It's like, why the fuck are you here?
Yeah. Yeah. Man, trust me. Covering Scott Drew's first year at Baylor was kind of like that. Where if you set off a bomb in the Farrell Center, assuming they got both teams off the floor in time, there might have been about 6 people impacted by the blast radius.
Oh man. Tough ending to that situation over there.
Eric, I ask myself that all the time when I'm at like the shittiest of when I'll pick like a DeSoto versus Mansfield just so I know I can get quotes out of the DeSoto kids and the game's over before it starts. Like, I get you where I'm like, damn, this is really my Friday night. You know, like, what are we doing?
I've had this a couple times when you go to a game and it's getting out of hand in the first half, and then suddenly you realize at some point in the second half, like, oh, we got a running clock.
Yeah.
Best.
Most of the time it's, oh, shit, can we run the damn clock?
I'm like, man, I got done what I needed to get done, and I'm going to get out of here early. Wow.
I'll let y'all get out of here on this, but in all seriousness, Jeff, to your point, like, I think I had a moment. I said this to Keenan on yesterday's show. I had a moment for me, like, my first what I'll call Texas moment was being down on the field as the seconds were waning off of the Texas Tech game, and it was clear that the Longhorns were going to clinch a spot in the Big 12 title game. And they did the whole, you know, heading to Arlington, right? They played the Your Mark quote and whatnot. Mm. Seeing the sheer joy of those Texas fans was just one of those things. That's when I finally felt like I'd made it, because I was covering a fan base in which, like, y'all care so much, so deeply about that program. And that's one of those things that's like, all right, like, it's pretty special what we get to do. I get to go to 12, 13, 14 Texas games a year when there are people across the state who probably would kill for that spot. So I can appreciate that sentiment, no doubt.
Yeah, your first Big 12 experience was a little bit different than mine, because mine was covering Baylor football in 2003, and they beat Colorado, and, you know, they stormed the field, but the Baylor line, Jordan, was not then near what it is now. You know, you storm the field with like 20, 30,000 people, it's like, oh man, somebody's getting trampled. And you storm the field with maybe a couple hundred, it's you just realize, okay, what's going on here? Oh, they're going to try to tear the goalpost down.
That happened at that Detroit Mercy game. Detroit Mercy lost 28 straight NCAA basketball games, and they finally won, and one dude stormed the court by himself. great video. Find that. It's super funny.
Man, so Texas State wins the bowl game against Rice
at
the Ford Stadium. Uh-huh. And I'm sitting with people and sitting with my friends and, you know, friends that I grew up with, and we ended up going to college together. They're like, Jeff, we're storming the field. You coming? I'm like, hell no, I'm not going to storm the field with y'all. And everybody's jumping the fence, and they're like, Jeff, jump it. I'm like, I will meet y'all down there, but my ass is going to find a staircase, and I'm taking walking stairs down. So I will meet y'all down there.
Jeff, I'm sure you've seen that footage. Just like, I think it was at was it Auburn or one of those SEC schools where the girl jumps it to score the kill. She just gets lost in the
You see, all you see is like they're just like the bridge of her nose, like
hey, sticking Jeff, up out real of the quick, CBS, were you covering Baylor when Matt Norgan fumbled to himself for TD
and
05?
Yeah, I was. And that Baylor team was competitive for all their games that year except one.
I remember bitch, that
was the one.
63-0, right? Was it 63-0?
62, yeah.
62-0, because they missed the extra point. I remember that. That was like my second season really into college sports.
Long live David Keenan. Am I right, Keenan?
Yeah.
That was my first season of Texas college football.
2005, Jordan?
Oh, I thought, my bad. I thought you said 03 for some reason. Oh, you 03 was your first year, Jeff. My bad.
Yeah, that was my first year covering it.
It's like my first year as a fan.
So I was covering Baylor, and like I said, my brother's a huge Baylor fan, and for whatever reason, Baylor gave me a press box pass and a sideline pass. So I let my brother have the sideline pass, so he's just out there hanging out.
Hell yeah.
The Austin American Statesman had a great picture it wasn't the front page, it was like on the kind of continued page, but it was a picture of Roy Williams tiptoeing the sideline and sticking the ball out across the pylon. And my brother's right in a frame just with a scowl on his face. I'm like, hey, could you be a little less of a homer next time you get photobombed in one of these deals?
Hey, Jeff, before I let you out of here, you ready for a little weekend baseball? Texas at UCF? Because the folks in Orlando are acting like it's their World Series.
I'm not so excited about a 5 o'clock start local time, but yeah. Hey, it's a big series. Look, at this point, for Texas to win the Big 12, I wrote it in the Insider yesterday. Basically, Texas has to win out and hope Oklahoma kind of implodes the last two weekends. And Oklahoma's playing Baylor and Cincinnati, so I don't see that happening. But they need to at least win this series, because now you're talking about staying off of the bubble, getting yourself a favorable two seed. I would like to see Texas head out west, because and we can all attest to this. If Texas can stay out of College Station or Fayetteville, that would be preferable.
Ideal.
So, yeah, man, it's going to be a big weekend, though. Is John Reese Plumlee still playing baseball? I haven't even really looked at UCF.
No. JRP, he
didn't he transfer?
No, he stayed at UCF and foolishly thinks he's going to have a career as like Taysom Hill. So, no, he's not playing baseball. So.
Bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see if it pays off.
Exactly. So now we'll see what's in store for the Longhorns. Like I said, the folks around here are treating it like it's their World Series, so it should be interesting.
I'll tell you this. I haven't dug too much into UCF, but I do know their home road splits, much better team at home than they are on the road.
Yes.
That's pretty much the case for the Big 12 newcomers. They've been much better at home than on the road. So, all right. Yeah. We'll get out of here. Let the Fall Start crew take over. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll be back to do it on Monday.
We'll see you.